question was asked, how are we to understand this concept that the Torah teaches us that in the Holy of Holies there was the Ark. And the Ark had poles in it. And the poles were longer than the wall, than the space of the room that they were in. Substantially longer. So our sages tell us that it was a miracle. That the fact that the poles, the badim of the Aron, could be contained inside the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies, which had a wall at the end, that's a miracle. And there's, we could strengthen the question, but for now we'll leave it at that. Fair enough. The question is, how could it be contained in a smaller room? When we approach a question like this, so there are a few angles that a person can take, and we're going to try and explore two. One is the angle that discusses the emunah aspect, the more religious aspect, and the other one we'll discuss when we begin it. Whenever we have a discussion about God, so if I'm meeting with people who have no concept of God, or have very, very big questions about who said God exists, so there are a few angles that one can take, and there's one which I particularly like. Again, you have to match it to the scenario. I begin by asking them, in today's world, we don't see a human being formed from nothing, right? What we see is that every person has two parents. And every person before that also has two parents. And every person before that also has two parents. So logic would dictate to say what the philosopher said in the book of the Kuzari, that this is the way it's always been. So you ask him, yeah, but what do you mean this is the way it's always been? Who was his father? His father was his father, and his father was his father. That's the way it's always been. So I tell them, does that make sense to you? And invariably they say, no. So I say, well, makes sense to me. So then they look at me funny. They say, what do you mean? You're supposed to tell us that God exists. What are you telling me that's what makes sense to you? So I told them, look, there was once a guy who was discussing this question. A woman said, I want you to explain to me that God exists. So he asked her, well, where'd the world come from? And she said, well, maybe a big turtle laid an egg and that was the world. What was she saying? You could look at it and say, well, she was avoiding the argument, the conversation, the dialogue. Or you could look at it that she was saying, well, obviously there's something here beyond your logic. So maybe it's a big turtle. Who says it has to be God? So in my humble opinion, when the philosopher says, man came from man and man came from man, and that's the way it's always been, what he's saying is, I don't have an answer for you. But if I don't have an answer, my lack of an answer, that question mark, is not an answer. What I know is this set. I know that man comes from man. So if I have to ask, where did man come from? I have to say he came from man. When you're giving me an answer and you're saying, well, no, but man was created, you're telling me something which is, I don't see God creating man today, so why should I say God created man then? All I know is that I don't know where man came from. So I'll assume that it's always been the way it is now. I don't have a better answer, but I understand that that answer is faulty. If you don't have an answer, not having an answer doesn't give birth to the concept of God. It just leaves you with a question. So I tell them, so far you agree with me, right? Man came from man all the way up. Well, I say man came from man, and logic dictates that man couldn't just come from man. Where, at some point, where did it come from? So you have to say there's something that is beyond this set theory of the concepts of this world. Meaning everything within this world, you'll always ask where did it come from. So there has to be some kind of question mark, whatever it is, that's the starting point. And that starting point is the beginning of man and the world and everything. And that something is not bound by the laws of this world. Because if it's bound by the laws of this world, then I have the same question about it. So that question mark is God. That thing that's beyond our laws of nature is God. The first definition of God is that. Now, there's still a lot of questions that need to be discussed. Meaning, how do I know he's compassionate? How do I know he spoke this? And how do I know he took us out of Egypt? That all needs its own discussion. But that concept that there's something that's beyond our realm of understanding that defies our logic, that is God by the first definition of God. The first definition we can have of God is something beyond our logic. He's not limited by what makes sense or does not make sense to us. So far we're together? Yeah? Guys, we're all on the same page? Okay. Now let's take step two. There's a discussion among philosophers, it's been around for a while, is there any truth other than a mathematical truth? Meaning, can you say something equals unless you're saying it's just a different representation of the other thing? Meaning, is anything true other than the capacity to represent two things in two different ways? 2 + 2 is a different representation of 4. That's true. But is there anything else that's true in the world? That's up to philosophical debate. But everyone agrees that a mathematical truth is true, right? That 2 + 2 = 4. Within our logical system, that's true. Now, the question is, does 2 + 2 have to equal 4? In our world, yes. But we just said that part of the definition of God is that the first definition of God is that he's not bound by our logic. The first definition is that God is not within the realm of our logic. He's not within the realm of this world. So then, potentially, by God, 2 + 2 could equal 4, could not equal 4, because he's not bound by anything that's the norm in our world. We don't know what he's bound. In Judaism, we say he's not bound. But I'm just saying, if we're just going to discuss philosophically, then what we do know is that he's beyond our realm. So when people ask, could God do everything? Yes. And could God create a rock that he can't lift? Yes. And those two are contradictory, so how could that be? The answer is yes. What do you mean yes? I just told you a contradiction. Right. God could do things that are contradictory. The question is, well, wait a second, doesn't that contradict his being God? Yes. So how could he do it? Yes, it's contradictory to you. You don't understand it. Right. The question is, can God do something that contradicts itself? Yes.
Type of question, but God cannot create something, can't move as far as I'm...
Say that way, say this way, it doesn't matter. Because the essence of the question is, can God make 2 plus 2... Can God make 2 plus 2 not equal 4?
Yes.
Oh, why? Because he's not bound by our logic. To you, it's illogical.
He can't limit himself. I mean,
okay, so leave it. It's not relevant to here. Let's leave it. Say this way, say that way. It doesn't matter. The concept is still there. The concept is he's not bound by our logic. That's okay. So now, in our logic, space is such that something big can't fit into something small. Right. But we just said by definition, God isn't bound by that. So it's not difficult. That's the whole concept of a miracle. It's something that within our laws of nature doesn't happen. Fire and water does not come down. The Torah says, when the hail came down, it came down fire mixed with water. The esh mitlakachat betoch habarad. You have fire burning within hail.
That's not as mathematically difficult as...
Granted. I agree with you. It's not.
So if you looked into the Holy of Holies, what did you see? So the poles bigger than the walls?
Our sages say that when you looked at the Holy of Holies, you saw the curtain... And you saw the poles protruding into the curtain. And our sages say that in the first Beit HaMikdash, there was the Amma Traxin. There was a wall that was an Amma, a hand width, 22 inches thick. And that wall was a solid wall at the end of the Kodesh HaKodashim. So now not only do the Badim, do the poles, they go beyond the space, the physical space of the Holy of Holies, but they go beyond the wall, and they don't break the wall. How did they get beyond the wall? Sages say that there was a motherly chest on the Holy of Holies curtain that was beyond the wall, and the badim, these two poles, they were protruding, and they formed the shape of a chest. Well, how'd they protrude beyond the wall? And anyways, they'd have to protrude a long way going by our measurement. They'd have to protrude quite a few feet. And then how did they not tear the parochas? The Chazal say that was all part of the nace. So all of this are things that are just not logical to us. Right. They're contradictory within our logical, our system in this world. Yes, that is part of what's happening in the Beis HaMikdash. We're entering God's home. So we're entering things that are beyond logic. You have people entering who are not, who could not fit in there. Chazal say it was unnatural that every person had his own space of Dalit by Dalit. So Chazal say, yes, it's beyond the concept of space. You entered God's home. You're not in an area that's governed by the laws of space the way we're accustomed to the laws of space. So that's, I think, the first understanding that I would try to explain. The question was, how do you explain it to someone? That would be the first understanding. And I'm always tempted to leave it at that. Doesn't make sense to you? Right. That's the concept of God. He could do things that don't make sense to us. Right. But you can't just say that sentence, because then most people won't be palatable to them. So you give the whole introduction. Then there's another aspect of understanding which is helpful, but I don't think it's critical. We know that area changes, meaning if you take a yardstick, it's a yard long, you put it on a plane that's traveling beyond the speed of sound, so then that yardstick is going to be shorter. Science doesn't understand it yet, but science has proven it, that things change size when placed at a very high velocity. When the plane lands, so then there'll again be a yard. How does that happen? Now, the trick is, how do you measure that, right? Because anything you're going to measure with is also going at that speed. So that's part of the trick of scientists, and they've figured it out, and they've come to that conclusion. Meaning, every scientist that goes up to outer space is going beyond the speed of sound, right? And their whole bodies, everything changes. The body, the spaceship, everything changes. That science knows today. How does that work? We don't know. The science is discussing, trying to figure out, how does space change based on speed, based on velocity? What happens? Meaning, how does it affect the atoms? What happens when you hit a high velocity? But that we know. So what does that tell us? That something that's a yard long here could be less than a yard under given circumstances. We don't know what effect you've done to it, but it could be different, right? So science already acknowledges that, just like science knows that when you go to outer space, time passes slower than it does on Earth. The people there, so we know how to leap forward in time. We know that time is not an absolute like we think it is here on Earth. You have 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day. No, we know that time, if we'll call it one of the dimensions, well, in different places it functions differently. So now that we understand that dimensions function differently under certain circumstances, why is it so difficult to say that in the temple, in God's home, God made it that dimensions work differently? No, I'm saying within science, it's something that we don't understand. That's right, but we don't begin to understand yet how dimensions work when you're traveling fast. But we do see that the concept exists within science. So then it makes it more palatable. It's easier to understand that Chazal tells that in the Beit HaMikdash was also that way. Do we understand it? No. But if you think, I could give a lot of theories, but I don't see a point to bend the Torah into science. And Chazal say it was miraculous. Now, every miracle, the Rishonim discuss, can it be explained naturally or not? So, okay, this is something that might make it more palatable for the person who's asking the question, but I don't see it as critical.